numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, VSiN Game Plus, of course, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Baton Rouge, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. Still to come this hour, Joe Pita will join us in studio, talk about baseball, National Football League, some Survivor. He's a big Survivor guy. He's got an entry left as well in Circus Survivor. I want to talk about Profit Exchange as well, again, in New Jersey, where you can bet not just the conventional way, but via exchange. We've explained it before. We'll explain it again coming up as well on the show. Kelly, you have some breaking news from the Dolphins.
We do. Out of the Dolphins camp, Mike McDaniel said Skylar Thompson is expected to start Sunday for the team against the Vikings. So run now and bet the Vikings.
They took that,
if you're interested, like me.
They took that line down real quick.
Yeah, but, seeing some adjustments here, though. A lot of books took it down, posted it back up. Really just moved it half a point, though. A little surprise.
Well, because the three was already a...
It felt like the hedge. I figured if we got official Skylar Thompson news, and look, expected to start is not starting, I guess, on Sunday, and we are still on, it is still Wednesday here, so I guess things could change. But I would expect that number to go up still if it's really Skylar Thompson starting on Sunday.
That sort of runs counter to what people were saying, though, about, you know, hey, and I get, well, with Teddy Bridgewater, there was a concussion question from a spotter. And then he also had the elbow injury. Mm-hmm. So people were saying, oh, he could have played immediately. Well, maybe he couldn't have then.
That's where, you know, we really hadn't heard anything on him in the past couple of days. So I'm glad I got that bet in initially, and I just added to it. So I'm always the annoying Vikings fan around the VSiN network, it feels like.
That's what we think of you.
I don't know how I became that. There goes
Kelly Bidlin, the annoying Vikings fan.
I like gunslingers, Gil. I like gunslingers. Kirk Cousins, a gunslinger. Let's go win this thing or lose this thing.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Chance Copperpot. Guys, I'm in the dumps today. I'm not sure what's worse. Not running it in from the one with Marshawn Lynch or bringing in Robbie Ray from the pen to face one of the best hitters in the ballpark, in that ballpark, in that situation. Cheer me up. I don't know that we can, Chance. We're doing our best. This is from Bruce Dobing, and he says, the Robbie Ray cameo reminded me of long-suffering Expos fans of starting ace Steve Rogers serving a cookie up to Rick Monday in the 1981 National League Championship Series while Jeff Reardon cooled his heels in the pen. Who could forget that? That was a moment for Rick Monday. And then Chris Heath is questioning your teaser street cred. He says, what is Kelly's teaser's record? He lost last week. He's not happy with you.
No, I didn't. I made one teaser bet last week and it won.
So there you go, Chris Heath. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, we are thrilled to have him on the show each and every week. He is a staple here on the network, former national champion in college football with the Colorado Buffaloes, and of course, first-round draft pick for the Atlanta Falcons back in the day. It's Mike Pritchard. How you doing, Pritch?
I'm great, Gil. Hey. They can never take it away from you, by the way. They can never take that championship. So there's no former in front of a national champion.
Oh, that's true. Well, that yeah. So if Reggie Bush was on, I could say that about a Heisman, but you're right about a national in this case.
Maybe.
Yes, and this is not a college basketball national championship that they've taken away. You know what I mean.
Right, I got you.
It was great to see you, first of all. It's nice to have you on Skype,
so
we get to see your face here. So let me ask you a few questions from a player perspective, and this is the beauty of having you on the show. We get it from someone who's actually played at the highest level. We'll talk about a few things that happened here. Okay, Ron Rivera, let's start there. Yesterday, he's asked, hey, you know, what do you think the difference is between you and the teams in the NFCs that are above you? And, you know, he apologized to the team afterwards and tried to explain this off, but he goes, quarterback. Yes, he had the apology. If you're a player on that team, what does that do to the collective psyche?
Gil, it just reinforces the fact that there's no accountability from the top in the locker room. I mean, that's what we've been talking about all year long. You know, I mentioned this since the beginning of the year for Washington and why I was against the Commanders here is because they fired a D-line coach. Even though you have the most talent in the defensive front than most teams in the National Football League right now, Del Rio, the last 2 years, his defense is ranked in a bottom tier in the National Football League. The year that they won a division, they won 7-9. We all know how bad that division was, and they had one of the better defenses that year. But since then, it's gone backwards. And so there's no accountability from the ownership. There's no accountability at the executive level. And there's certainly no accountability on the coaching staff. And so as players, you're not shocked at the fact that Ron Rivera had a poor choice of words. because it doesn't surprise you at this point. I mean, it's just continuing the issues that the Commanders have had for the last 2 years.
Let's say you're a Los Angeles Charger player, and Brandon Staley goes for it on fourth and a long one, which is a massive risk-reward gaffe. And he gets away with it. He's bailed out because Cade York misses the field goal for the Browns. There has been some player support, right? Some players have been like, oh, he believed in us. What would you be thinking? What would you be thinking?
Yeah, you know what, Gil? What's interesting about Staley is he's supposed to be this analytics genius guy, and he's supposed to know every situation and how to deal with it. But it hasn't worked. I mean, as players, we want to be put in the best position to be successful. We certainly don't want to feel like, okay, yeah, we can go out and win the game if we get the first down. I get that. But then also, you look at who we have on defense side of the ball. I mean, we have some studs on that side of the ball. So we know as players that it takes the players to win the game, not the coaches from the sideline to win the game. And a lot of times, you feel like the coaches are just going to mess it up. And so Keenan Allen had a tweet. We talked about this on the weekend show, Pro Football Blitz, in terms of, okay, what's the true feeling of that locker room towards the coach? Mm-hmm. And so Staley had to have a meeting with Keenan Allen, right? He had to have a meeting with the players just to reinforce credibility, because that's all you have as a coach. You're not out there blocking. You're not out there tackling. You're not out there making plays. You're calling plays, but you have to put us in the best situation to be successful. And a lot of times coaches, they outthink the room, or they don't have a feel of the game. And certainly from a credibility standpoint, you lose faith in coaches like that.
You lose faith. That's what I'm trying to get at. And last thing on this same sort of like player's reaction, the Raiders, they're 1-4, and they've lost the four games by a combined 13 points, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
14 points, pardon me, 14 points. So 14. They have a differential of -5 on the season. But you're 1-4. Mm-hmm. You do go for it down one on the Josh Jacobs two-point conversion that failed. What are you like, yeah, but, you know, we only lost by 14 points. We still believe. Or is it the opposite of that? Where would you stand if you're a Raider right now?
Well, I think it's more than that, because you have a certain number of guys on the roster that went to the playoffs last year for the Raiders, right? And now everything that they did went correctly for them last year. But this year, it's not going that way. We're 1-4. Now, the season's not over with. As long as you start to hear comments, and I'm hearing them, I'm reading them about how they still have faith in Josh McDaniels and we went for it, but yet there was still time on the clock for us to still get the win, which there was. I mean, there was ample opportunity. But I am seeing signs, though, Gil, of this coaching staff trying to win games from the sideline. Like, when you have a plan for Travis Kelce out in the field, but you don't have a plan for him in the red zone, that's a problem, right? And so I think as players, you got to band together. There's enough leadership within the Raiders team to get through the newness factor of this coaching staff. But they got to take this bye week and reassess what direction they're going in. And certainly, is there a credibility established? I think Josh McDaniels has that innate because of the fact that he's got 6 Super Bowl rings, right? But as a head coach, he hasn't really established himself that way.
Yeah, it just strikes me, in a different era, we wouldn't hear certainly there wasn't Twitter at all, so we wouldn't see a Keenan Allen WTF tweet. We wouldn't see Jair Alexander saying for the Packers, well, if we lose next week, right? The players, KJ Hamler, smacking his helmet down several times after Russell Wilson doesn't see him in the end zone. That's the kind of new thing here where we're seeing this more rampantly this year, where players seem like they have carte blanche to express their emotions however they want to. Are you struck by that as well? Like in your day, not to make you sound like you played with a leather helmet, Mike, but that didn't happen then.
Yeah, no face mask either, right?
I mean, yes.
No, you know what? We would address it this way, Gil. We would shut that door and hash it out. Like, no coaches, no trainers, no anybody. Let's shut this door and let's hash this out as players, right? But it's different. Like in Denver, what you talked about, KJ Hamler, frustration. But where is Russell going? You know, during a week of practice, Russell is upstairs with the coaches because he has an office up there. So we can't shut that door. And that's good signs for a better to just understand the dynamic in a locker room and whether or not teams can band together and figure it out, or are teams fractured and they're going to have a tougher time figuring things out along the way.
And that's the point of all these questions, is for bettors to try to figure out, like, which of these teams just can't stand each other. The coaches have lost right. The locker room or whatever. What do you like best as you look at the week six slate? What's the game you like the best here?
Man, I tell you what, I get a chance to get Kansas City, the second best team, as a home underdog. We know against the spread, dogs have been doing well, almost 60% in certain cases, 60%. So looking at that, I'm on the opposite side of Kelly, I think. I kind of like the Dolphins catching points here because, one, Minnesota's defense is yielding 120 yards per game on the ground. And Mike McDaniel got the head coaching job because he is a run game coordinator out in San Francisco. They got to amp that up. They got to ramp that up. And I think in particular, now you have your third string quarterback going. I expect Miami to run the football a little bit here against Minnesota.
Pritch is oppo, Kelly. Yeah, I like your play there. By the way, let me just say it came back up on the board and it was -3 with extra juice. That was the only adjustment made. And I was like, my instinct was to go Vikings and then something stopped me. Pritch, I was the same way. I was like, you know what? Nah, I don't trust them. Don't trust the Vikings. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm with you on the
hard
Chiefs.
To trust them on the road.
As much as I respect the Bills and they're my number one power ranked, and the Chiefs are number two, I did guess on guessing lines that I thought the Chiefs would be a slight favorite for whatever that's worth. Pritch?
Yeah.
Appreciate it as always and love the player perspective on it all. Thank you.
Right on, Gil. Thank you. Thanks a lot for having me.
Mike Pritchard, everybody, at MI Pritchard on Twitter. Here on the network. We're thrilled to have him, of course, each and every week. Coming back. We will talk about World Series exactas. Is there value anywhere? That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The NASCAR playoffs are in full swing, and it's time to see all of your favorite drivers in fabulous Las Vegas. The South Point 400 is this weekend, October 14th through the 16th at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. VSiN's own Brent Musburger, the godfather, be the grand marshal of the race, and he'll also broadcast from the track Sunday morning on Brent's Countdown to Kickoff show. And before the action on the track, come down to the South Point Hotel and Casino tomorrow, Thursday, October 13th, to see the Budweiser Clydesdales and meet Mark Martin in his inaugural Las Vegas 400 winning car. Also special appearances by Brendan Gaughan and Las Vegas native Noah Gragson. The South Point also has room and ticket packages available as well. For more information, head to southpointcasino.com. Kelly, you getting on a Clydesdale tomorrow? They letting you
on? Man, that might be a big enough horse for me to actually ride without injuring the animal. But the I think it was Chris talking about it on Monday. Those things are impressive in person.
Very impressive.
They are like something out of another world. Those are a massive horse.
I would pay for you to take a ride on a Clydesdale around
no
the South Point.
You know how terrified I am of riding a horse? That sounds scary as hell.
I would love to see that.
I've never done it once in my life. I don't know. It's larger animals scare me away.
Chris Heath tried to call you out on your teasers. You'd like to set the record straight, sir?
Yeah, just went and checked. 9-5 on 6-point teasers this week. 5 in a row. Bucks Vikings hit last week.
Good for you. That's a minefield.
It's a minefield. Yeah. I'm not saying it's been easy. It's not like I was bragging about it. I mean, what do you have to hit to make money on 120 teasers? It's like over 63% or something like that. I mean, it's not been great. I'm not sitting here saying 9-5 is amazing, but
it's okay. You've stated your case. It's all right. You've defended yourself properly. No need to continue. Do you make any bets yet this week? Week 6?
I made a lot of bets on the opening lines, which really haven't shifted much.
By the way, this did go to 3.5 on the Vikings now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I hear you guys, you and Pritch, where look, the Vikings, should there be concerns? Yeah, there should be concerns with the Vikings, but
Team Plinko.
It's Team Plinko.
Wow, you made a lot
Skylar
of bets.
Skylar Thompson, I'm just not I think you're still getting, you have a much more quality football team heading down there, and it's into October in Miami. It's not like it's gonna be 100 degrees or anything like that. I like the Vikings this week on the road. So, yeah, I bet them on the opener. I just added more to them at 3 here shortly, just a few minutes ago. Commanders-Bears, I took that under on the 40 when it opened.
Oh, man, what a barn burner tomorrow night.
Can't wait to sit through that one, Gil, but I thought 40 was a little high. And
It'll still dwarf baseball numbers.
Yeah, for real, right? It's 37.5, 38 right now, so that's looking pretty good. I don't know that I'd be telling anybody out there to run and bet it under 37.5 because I'm already concerned about it under 40, but I don't know where you're getting much offense out of these two teams, Gil. I also played the Bucs-Steelers under 43.5. That number has gone against me a little bit, sitting at 44 most places right now. Here's another one, Gil. What have we seen out of the Steelers' offense to really believe in them? And the Tampa Bay Bucs are still kind of sputtering a little bit to get that offense going. So I like the under on that. I don't play a lot of totals. I'm not a big totals guy. So these are a little bit smaller bets for me. One teaser I did play this week, Bucks minus 1.5 on the opener, Jags at 7.5, bad number on them. You could get it at up to 8.5 right now. The Vikings one I already talked about. I did play Browns laid the 2.5 at home with them this week against the Patriots. I thought great call by you last week on the Patriots. I just haven't been able to get behind this Patriots team too much yet this year. And then Bengals money line, I played that on the opener. Didn't really understand that line. You talked a bit about that one on guessing lines, thinking the Bengals would be laying more. Seeing that number rising now, but
it's the only bet I've made this week so far. I immediately grabbed the Bengals because I'm guessing lines, and that was an interesting reaction because both you and Christy, so I guessed it. I don't know what the number is. I said -3.5, and both of you immediately were like, "Oh, that's what I thought it should be."
Yeah, I thought they'd be laying 3 or something like that heading into New Orleans. So it opened to pick 'em, and I mean, it was opened 1 basically. Bengals. I scooped up a -115 I saw in town here.
Let me just talk about one of it. You brought up the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know Pittsburgh just got absolutely trucked. Could have gone with a lot of words there.
Yeah.
By the Buffalo Bills this past week. I get it, and it was Kenny Pickett's first start. Are we, and this gets back to Survivor, this gets back to betting, this gets back to everything, are we 1,000% convinced that the Steelers aren't one of these teams that could absolutely surprise us? And I know there's no T.J. Watt. They're 0-8 lifetime without T.J. Watt. They're 0-4 this year without him.
Well, if history tells us anything, Gil.
Here we go. Is there any Steelers stat that we could lean on, perhaps, to inform us?
There is. I've got one for you.
Oh, wow. What's this?
Mike Tomlin has never finished under 500 as a head coach in the NFL with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Never heard that.
So, obviously, they've got to bounce back a little bit.
I'm just saying, I just wonder, again, getting back to what Aaron Schatz, and I wish we had more time with Aaron Schatz, and we will next when we do the midseason, we'll do double the segment with Aaron Schatz.
Yeah.
But I do hearken back to the old parody thing. If Pittsburgh beat Tampa Bay, would you be, like, flabbergasted by that?
No. No, but if they do, it's going to be a 17-13 game where Brady just couldn't get the offense going at all.
I was just trying to figure out how Pittsburgh Steelers fans were going to blame that trucking at the hands of the Bills on Mitch Trubisky. Trubisky, we would have lost by 100 if it was Trubisky.
I also don't know with the, I don't know. How do you feel about the Trubisky Pickett split? Like, do you think it was the right decision to go with Pickett now and ride with it?
I don't.
I don't either.
In other words,
what was the point of bringing in Trubisky?
Listen, if I had all 22, if I watched the all 22 footage, maybe I would feel differently. Maybe I'm completely wrong. There is that possibility.
Yes, and me too.
There is that possibility. But I do get the sense, and I've said this on many occasions, I do get the sense that that Mitch Trubisky could do no right by the end, right? Like, even if they would figure out a way to blame everything on him. He didn't do that, he didn't do that. And I don't know if you go to Pickett this early, like, there's a big downside to this.
Yes.
Where if he does not perform, then what do you do?
Because then you're going to be hearing, and if they continue to play poorly, right, you're going to, or have poor results, I should say, you're going to have a lot of people. Are you going to be hearing the calls for draft another quarterback in this next draft? And you're the one team that made that leap to spend a first-round draft pick on a quarterback.
Pickett has gone from, never mentioned starting college quarterback to his senior year being, oh, my God, this guy's amazing, yeah. And he was amazing that year, to he's the first quarterback picked in that draft. Was he the first in the end? Yes, I believe he was. And all of a sudden, he is, you got to go to Kenny Pickett. Well,
yeah. I got a team I want to ask you about, too.
Yeah.
We haven't got it. I've been meaning to ask you this all week. The Titans.
Yes.
You were very high on them last year.
Last year.
Very high on them last year. This team has overperformed my book.
I think so.
This year.
Yeah.
And they're, again, for me, just like last year for me, a team I don't know what to make of.
Yeah, I was just about to say, throw them into the same category as the Chargers and the Cardinals as what do you do with these guys? By the way, they could have just lost that. Where Carson Wentz just, you know, gets it in from 4 yards out or whatever it was.
It's a loss.
It's a loss. There's nothing about this team besides Derrick Henry that scares you on offense. There's nothing on the outside. What was Drew Dinsick's line? The secret tank of the Tennessee Titans?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look up and you're 3-2, and you've got the Colts and at Texans as your next two games after the bye, you're thinking to yourself, we could be 5-2 heading into that Chiefs game.
They absolutely could be.
In a weak division. So the secret tank might end up being a secret division win. Division crown.
I was with you. I thought this team was going to be terrible this year.
They still got two more against the Jags, two more against the Texans, you know?
In my opinion, we've really only seen Ryan Tannehill play decent football when he is surrounded by a ton of weapons. And I thought the loss of A.J. Brown was going to be way too much for him to overcome. And maybe we see that more down the road, but I don't. They've been okay so far. Well, and it surprised me, man.
Want to look at some World Series exactas
real
quick? World Series exactas. These are available in multiple sports books. They had them back here at the South Point as well. My mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, had them up as well. But they're available in other places. Exact team to beat exact team in the World Series. Chrissy was the first to put up exactas in sports, by the way, carrying that over from horse racing. So shout out to him on that. Dodgers over Astros, no surprises. The short shot at DraftKings at plus 550. Dodgers over Yankees, no surprise, would be the second short shot at plus 650. You see all the permutations. Mine was Braves over Astros. And after the Braves lost game one yesterday, we're still only getting 16-1 after the Braves loss? Are these updated after yesterday or?
Yeah, no.
They are. Okay.
As of this morning. So live at DraftKings right now.
You know, 16-1 isn't, with the Braves down 1-0, I was hoping for a little more bang for my buck on that. That would still be my play on it. Somewhere in that pocket. Astros over Braves, Braves over Astros. If I were to play anything, but I'll be honest with you, I don't love that number.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. You know, as I was typing these up this morning, I'm thinking about all I've got in pocket are Dodgers bets.
Like Dodgers over Mariners is only 22-1 with the Mariners down a game,
right?
And the Mariners get into the World Series, really?
So those are like that was what I was looking at is maybe like a Mariners over Dodgers thing, right?
Well, now that would be more, but still, even that,
but
Mariners losing to them.
I agree with you. These odds should be longer with these teams down a game.
All right, we don't have to bet everything, ladies and gentlemen. We just want to point out what's available, and sometimes we don't like it as much as other things. But they are available to you. World Series exactas. We're thankful for having the option anyway. Let's put it that way. Joe Pita on the other side. Football, baseball, Survivor Talk, and more. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Basketball season is ready to tip off, and now's the time to grab your VSiN Pro Basketball Betting Guide with season prep on all 30 teams. Our hoops experts, including Jonathan Von Tobel, provide strategy and advice, as well as predictions for conference winners, win totals, playoff teams, and player awards. We also have 5 betting tips for beginning NBA bettors. Give yourself an edge this NBA season and get the VSiN NBA Betting Guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Now that the 17-day NBA offseason has come to an end.
That's right. It was a long, long offseason.
That's right.
Back at it.
Whew, it's been a long time since we've seen these guys playing.
It's one of my favorite parts of the NBA. Like, I just got to get through this like couple months of baseball. We'll be back.
Let's get Malik on the show. Let's get it done. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, it's Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin. Always nice to be on a numbers game. People sort of stroll in through the studio. That's the beauty of the show. Joe Pita does so now. You may know him from the baseball book, Trading Bases. Also, of course, when he shifted over and did some Masters stuff back in 2019 with what was proprietary data for the Masters at Augusta up until that, and then he uncovered it with his tour guide presenting a 2019 Masters back then. He joins us now to talk multiple sports. It's Joe Pita, everybody. How you doing, man?
Hey, Gil. Doing great. Doing great to be here.
So much to talk about. First of all, we should give you the stage for a moment. I know you're not a gloater, and I know it's only 5 weeks, so there's nothing quite to gloat about yet, but when you were on this show last, you made a pitch for the Denver Broncos under season win total, and you took a lot of incoming for this.
Yeah, I took some blue checkmark flack for sure. Yeah, this was in August, and I had net for all the times I've been on your shows, your podcasts. We're going on 10 years, 10 plus 10 years now.
Man.
I never had actually made a football call. But I did some work this summer and thought about writing essays on all the teams, and I think that might be next year. But I did two, and I didn't publicly issue them, but I issued them to you, and you said, come on and talk about these. And yeah, the one was the Denver Broncos under, and it really hinged on the fact that Russell Wilson had already fallen off a cliff last year.
That was the thing. It wasn't just post-injury. It was pre-injury.
That's right. And the real call there was, one, I thought the Broncos would have been better off with Teddy Bridgewater, and I kind of contrasted that with the Raiders, which I also thought was an under, not because Devontae Adams didn't make them better. He did. He was much better than any option they had. But people didn't realize how much production they got out of wide receiver one last year, and that I thought Adams gave him the best chance to duplicate that, but not exceed it. Therefore, I thought they still were going to have trouble outscoring their opponents, and that would be an under. But then the Broncos, that was a call that this was – I did not think they were better off with Wilson over Bridgewater. And you know, we see how well Seattle's doing. We're kind of seeing it two places, right?
That point you made, though, when you talk about the Raiders, about production being replaced, would you agree that that is, if not the single biggest thing that bettors don't sort of wrap their hands around or their brains around? It's sort of, we talked about in baseball, you had the famous Mets example so many years ago where I always talk about with the Vikings, maybe this is the easiest one to latch onto, that when the Vikings signed Kirk Cousins, maybe he'll be better than Case Keenum over a three-year arc of the contract, but he was replacing Case Keenum's 2017 production, which was outstanding. And so the notion that somehow you were upgrading that position was a fallacy to begin with. You did it in baseball for so many years.
Right, that's a great example too. Right, it's marginal change. It's really understanding what the marginal change is. So you got to account for what's being lost and what's being added. And that's a great example of Cousins may have given them the best chance to replicate that.
Right.
But if you see season win totals higher than the team had the year before, that's a screaming under.
That's where your assessment should start, in other words.
Right.
Okay. I want to get to Survivor in a minute because I know you're excited to talk about that. You have a Survivor entry. But baseball, it strikes me, of course, you're a Philadelphia Phillies, a lifelong Philadelphia Phillies fan. We were just talking earlier, Will Hill and I, on the show about how for Mets fans, and let's say the Phillies get by the Braves, what a cruel twist this is for those clubs, or the fans or bettors of those clubs, if the Phillies in fact get the furthest in the postseason.
Yes, it is. It's lovely. It is great. Yes, I hate the Mets. I hate the Braves. I hate the Mets more. The Braves, I can still sort of gloat about 1993. That was when one of the most fun baseball teams you'll ever have. That was the John Kruk, Darren Dalton, Lenny Dykstra Phillies upset the juggernaut that was the Braves to get to the World Series.
That was the Braves beat the Giants by a game.
That's right. That was one of your 104 to 103 wins or something like that. That's right. True pennant race. So it was watching the Mets lose. We'll just briefly touch on this. I spent a couple years working for the Mets owner during the transition of buying the Mets. And then I wasn't needed anymore. So this has been a great week for me.
Do you think the owner Steve Cohen took this well, this turn of events here the last month?
You know, word says he did, and I'm going to take that at face value. Remember, he did not take well when the Phillies knocked the Mets out of first place the year before in August.
That's why
he had his driver drive him down to and it was that was kind of the guy I knew. I'm like, but from what I hear, look, he's done a great job running the team. I think Joe Sheehan has said for once there is somebody who owns the Mets who cares more about winning than the callers to WFAN. And I think that's
a great barometer.
Yeah, it really is. So, I think he's done a great job. It feels like he has made good decisions. He's not throwing money. Maybe the Kuma Rocker thing was strange. But otherwise, I think that, I think they're still positioned for success. So I'll take my glee when I can get it.
Last baseball thing. You been the Phillies today?
I am, yes. I kind of like just, it almost feels like the line is rising in Atlanta's favor just because of the old NBA zigzag thing, but I'll back Wheeler.
Wheeler is a dog, +125 for the full game. Game two, Phillies trying to go up 2-0. Braves trying to even up the best of five series at 1-1. All right, Survivor, you've got one entry. How many did you start with?
Survivor? You mean Derek Stevens' demented Vegas-based interpretation of the Squid Games? Because I swear to God, Gil, each Sunday I feel like I'm in a six-hour game of red light, green light, trying to truly survive. So
red light, green light is what we used to entertain ourselves with as kids, Kelly, back in the day when there was no internets.
Yeah, I saw Squid Games.
doesn't Survivor feel like that on a weekly basis?
Yeah, I got shot last week. Yeah.
How awesome. You got yes, you did. How awesome, though, something so simple, right? All you got to do is pick one team to win. You don't get to use them again, but all you have to do is the thing that captures our attention the most.
Yeah, Gil, you ask all your guests, like, what bets have you made this week? And in the first 3 weeks of the season, I had a full card by Wednesday. I haven't made a single bet this week starting like last week, I'm totally in Survivor mode, getting this last entry to survive, and I'll look at the rest of the card later.
How many did you start with?
I started with five.
I started with five, too. I've got two left. You've got one left. So, and you and I, our philosophies are a little different, and I think your philosophy on Survivor has played better this year, quite frankly, because of the parity, everything we're talking about, because of the mayhem that is the National Football League. You're a survive and advance guy.
I am with one entry left for sure.
Certainly with one, but even with multiple, you're a survivor.
I am, and sort of the reason is of how it even played out last year, Gil, which was just get me to November, and specifically last year it was get me to Thanksgiving, and then I'll go game theory on you. And we talked so much last year when I went with the Raiders on a Thanksgiving last year.
The thought exercise I had with
Mr. Parles. Exercise. Exactly. Those were great. And I can't wait to come on. I got to the final 28 last year. And at that point, there was, it was final 28. I got knocked out on the Lions-Vikings. Last year on the 98-yard drive with no timeouts and 2:08 left. And
I was at the Raiders Washington football team game at Allegiant. We had screens in front of us. The game had started, and all I cared about was your Survivor entry, watching it.
I remember that. And that was very kind of you.
And I slumped in my chair. I was like,
The thing was, though, once we got to the game theory portion, and certainly once we got to the final 28, there are opportunities to monetize that. We did a whole show last year. I can't wait to do that again this year, whether I'm in or out. But I got so much feedback on that, and people were sending me spreadsheets. Am I doing this right? Can't wait to do it again.
Let's totally do that again this year. It is not the way that a normal sports bettor would think about to do it. You're a former Wall Street guy. You have what the average sports bettor would consider a very unique way of doing that.
Yeah, and when we get to the final 50, for the people that are left with the final 50, when you get intrinsic value that's well over 100,000, we'll talk about that, and I'll either give my advice or hopefully I'm still around. We'll both be around.
Hopefully. Who are you taking this week? Do you know yet?
I'm really down to all the candidates you talked about. I'm down to the Niners, the Bucks, or the Chargers.
Those are three of them. The Niners, the Bucks, and the Chargers. Again, with the Chargers being the one, it's a Monday night game, so you'd have to live through the Sunday games to have that hanging over you to Monday, first of all, from just the psychological standpoint. But then it's the Chargers, which fit the bill of what I've said with most of these teams. Once you use them and you get through with them, you are so thrilled that you never have to consider them again.
Yeah, and that's me with Minnesota this week, as well as Green Bay, as well as the Rams. Like, those are out for me, and I don't mind.
The prospect of Brandon Staley shooting your Survivor entry in the play.
It's high. I know the Niners are probably the safest pick. I don't like two straight road games. I know they're at the Greenbrier.
I know they're at the Greenbrier. Let's talk about an exchange, a betting exchange with Joe on the other side. New Jersey, this is for you. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's a numbers game live from the South Point. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin with some breaking football news as well.
Yeah, Devontae Adams has been charged with misdemeanor assault in Kansas City, Missouri after that incident after the game Monday night. The Raiders on a bye this week, so nothing official from the NFL on a suspension or anything, but legally that is what is happening with that case right now.
And the Raiders are on a bye this week, so no urgency here heading into this week, but we'll monitor that situation as well. Mark Geiger, our in-house attorney for a numbers game, called it, didn't he? Didn't he call that yesterday?
Yep.
It was all over it. All right, Joe Pita, kind enough to join us in studio once again. Joe acts as a, how would you characterize? You're a consultant, would you say?
An advisor. Officially, you'd be an advisor. I also talk to investors, both current and hopefully or prospective investors for profit. And maybe IR in waiting. If the company gets big enough and we need an investor relations post, that just follows up with talking to investors.
We're talking about Profit Exchange, not the only exchange that is available in New Jersey, which we'll touch on here in a moment, but Profit Exchange, whose CEO, Dean Sisson, is kind enough to just stroll on into the studio as well. Dean, great to have you, man. Good to see you down here.
Thanks for having me.
You're here for G2E. How's that going so far?
It's going well. It's tiring. It's a lot on your feet. My back is kind of on fire, but it's going well.
My back is on fire. Yeah. Joe, let me start with you because the main thing for numbers game listeners is because most of us are used to betting what we would call the standard conventional way here in the United States, whether it's bricks and mortar sports books, whether it's using an app. But an exchange, while it's known to very long time and sort of elite sports bettors, whether that's Betfair or otherwise globally, an exchange is not really something that is second nature. How would you describe what that is, and what would be your pitch for that?
Yeah, so as we talked about in August when this launched, it was peer-to-peer, and it brings the promise of shrinking the house VIG for bettors. So it's hopefully a win-win proposition for bettors. Now, there was some there's always been some skepticism about could an exchange work in the U.S.? The Wire Act has a lot to do with that. It has to be ring-fenced by state, et cetera. And even in August, Gil, I didn't know. We didn't know.
None of us knew.
I hoped that sports betting is now so much part of fabric of fandom and sports watching in general that the liquidity would be there. And I have to tell you, we have found that. And I'll just give you one real quick stat. So Profit launched in mid-August, right with the start of the college football season. It took 24 days for the first $1 million in bets to be matched. That would be handle in the traditional parlance. It took 10 days for the next $1 million to be matched. The third $1 million was matched 4 days after that.
Wow.
We are waiting, anticipating the first $1 million day. It'd be great if it came in the next month. It's certainly a possibility with all the events that come in October. So the liquidity is there. We have seen the money line VIG essentially collapse to almost the lower bound. It's essentially 0.5%, which would be minus 310 plus 300. There is no more VIG essentially or spread in money lines on NFL games, and college is very similar. So the proof of concept, it's working. The exchange is working, and of course, and this is all being done like with less than 1,000 customers. Once it gets to 10,000, it's fantastic. And like we've talked before, an exchange doesn't do everything a standard book does. But it's complementary to me. And just like you said, there's another exchange now. Hey, and my answer is to everyone, as a bettor, give yourself as many options as possible. Have all the apps funded.
And this is available in the state of New Jersey. Dean, I'll come to you here. I would assume the goal is for it to be beyond into other states as well. What is the short term? What are you looking to do that you haven't done already with Profit?
So we're looking to nail New Jersey first and foremost. If you come to our product right now, you're coming there for two reasons. It's one, to get as much action down as you want, and two, to bet on pre-match outcomes. The next phase of profit is live betting. If you come to our product right now, the live betting experience isn't great. So we're going to nail that in New Jersey, and then we move into the other states. We just announced Ohio on Friday. We have market access into Indiana, and then we're going to go state by state from there.
This is it's super exciting. Again, it's one of those things also for those of us, we've said this many times, and I don't want to, you know, beat a dead horse saying it, but it's like in Nevada, this is just a dream for us. Like, to just hear about these things is an incredible thing. But it is such a—I mean, it's such an an opportunity that should be taken advantage of for bettors to bet this way. And again, as your line always, Joe, the very sort of very simple thing is, you lose less and you win more.
Yeah, right. That's the elevator pitch, right? Every single bet, win more or lose less. And I always kind of, as I've said that, because like I say, that's the elevator pitch. Our friend, your friend, Captain Jack, wrote a nice article about profit on Unabated, and he did a better job of talking about the importance of win more, lose less every single bet, because he talked about it from a bankroll better. And as he talked about, and when you realize that as a bankroll better, saving more each bet, it doesn't add up, it compounds. And that's a huge thing, again, for bettors. So if you're a bankroll better that bets a percent of his bankroll on each bet, winning more, losing less on every bet, current and prior, makes a huge difference in your ultimate return.
Last thing about this, so we're speaking sort of in generalities and might be abstract to some, but again, this is, you know, for the average American bettor, this is not second nature. Can you give like just one example about, just from a mathematical standpoint about, you know, a general teaser vis-a-vis what you can get at an exchange?
Yeah, I won't get mathy here. I'll try not to get mathy, but I listened to Kelly's teasers a bit, and of course one of the most popular ones is teasing down a 6 or a 6.5 or a 7 point favorite, right? And we know that a teaser is a subset of a parlay, right? All teasers are parlays, not all parlays are teasers. Well, if you're teasing down 2, 6, or 7 point favorites, that essentially turns them into money line parlays. And I was looking last week at the NFL games last week. You could essentially, looking at the money lines on profit, you could tease. Now, you have to do it synthetically by taking the money line in the 1 o'clock game and then the second money line in the 4 o'clock game. But you could have teased Minnesota and San Francisco and paid like minus 102 instead of minus 120. Even better, you could have teased Minnesota and the Kansas City Chiefs. And yes, you would have paid minus 120 because those money lines were a little higher. The Chiefs were a good bit higher than 49ers. But Gil, that's an effective 7 point tease because it was money line. And you say, did the extra point matter? 30-29 Chiefs. You would have pushed that leg on a traditional teaser. Here, by doing it synthetically on the exchange, you actually would have won both legs. So again, it's just because, you know, yes, that takes a little work, and but there's certain bettors that do that, and you, right, that just shows you either lose less, win more.
Yeah. Dean, you were super modest about saying you want to get New Jersey right. I really appreciate that you know, you're not getting ahead of your skis on any of this. But will there be a day you think you'll have futures available or series prices and that kind of thing that doesn't currently exist? All of that will be there eventually.
That's in process, yeah.
Yeah.
Sooner than you think.
And has the growth thus far even been surprising to you? Like, if I gave you truth serum right now, what would you say?
I'm pretty shocked, if I'm going to be honest. So, again, you come to profit right now because you're getting the best price on a pre-match outcome, and you can get down as much money as you'd like, right? There's no limitations. There's no central dictating authority that tells you how much you can and cannot bet. The volume per user has been very impressive. I mean, you can come onto profit and see how much money is being traded on each outcome in each market on our product. First of all, money line is dominating. Spread and totals are going to catch up with a product advancement we have coming in a couple weeks. But the average volume per user, this is a fun stat, is right now per week 14 to 15 times higher per player on our product without live betting.
Jeez.
Than a sportsbook.
Oh.
And no props. It's just money line spreads, totals.
It's an exciting time. Just wanted to, you know, spend a few moments. Glad for you guys to stroll on in. We just called you in there to talk about it. But it's in New Jersey when you've got that opportunity. I would definitely take advantage. I envy very much. By the way, that's your pro tip of the hour. We should probably just make that the pro tip of the hour as well. We always talk about finding the best number when betting sports. That includes finding the best VIG. Betting exchanges like Profit Exchange can be a huge opportunity for bettors, and that is the understatement of the hour, that's for sure. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, or you can sort them by sport and by show. Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. We've done all we could do. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.